Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday, October the 4th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour, 59 degrees and sunny skies here in the Marion area. We are just about to run out of this beautiful, beautiful weather that we are having. I think we've got one more day of it after today. Tomorrow, I think, is supposed to be fairly nice. And then Friday, I think the rain comes in, and then Saturday, we've got cold weather on the way. I don't even think it's supposed to be 60 degrees on Saturday for the big game, Maryland and Ohio State, which allegedly, at this point, I will be at. So that should be highly fascinating on the whole. Now, there's a lot of stuff locally here to talk about. And I just want to mention a few things before I get to the main thrust of what I want to bring up here at the top of the program. I do want to remind everybody again, locally, that the Busy Bee Convenience Store, located where Certified used to be on North Main Street, did open on Saturday. We thank Kevin Griffith, one of our listeners, for sending that information in. So the Busy Bee is open on North Main. And hopefully at some point we'll hear from somebody who has been there and they can tell us what kind of store that is. Friday is approaching. We have all our big shows here on WGH Talk on Friday. Kicking off with Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, and myself at 8:15 a.m. Pastor Whitaker at 9:15 a.m. At 10:15 we've got Matt, Sean, and myself again. 11:15, Pastor Craig comes in, and 12:15, Pastor Craig, Sean, Matt, and myself have an interesting conversation about the week that was on the Exchange Club, and I have a lot of fun with that group of guys on Friday. Then Friday night, of course, we have Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, and Sean Kraft and myself from 8:15 until 10 p.m., we're having a ton of fun with that show. And as I told somebody a few weeks ago, I think the reason that people think we're having such a good time is because we are having such a good time. We all like each other. We all get along. It's a fun group of people to be around. We've really become friends, and it's like a party every Friday night. You know, it's not like going to work. So we're lucky that way. Now, all that being said, well, the Ohio State game, I don't know. I still feel Maryland has a chance to pull this off. There's going to be a lot going on Saturday, as far as I'm concerned, at this particular point. I do want to mention something small here. Well, it's not small in the grand scheme of things, but and it's not going to make a whole lot of sense in how I'm saying it. But we may talk more about this as the week goes on. I'm not really sure. But we don't talk enough about in this I don't think we talk enough in this country about mental illness. And it's one of those things that we talk about when something tragic happens. And tragedies are horrible, and we certainly don't want to see those. But people are suffering with mental illness every day, and it's hard. You know, because people don't see it like heart disease or cancer or stroke or something like that. And it can be just as deadly, just as awful, just as insidious as any of those illnesses. And any families that are dealing with that, I really have the greatest admiration that you are dealing with it, because it's a tough thing to deal with. And my greatest sympathies go out to people who are experiencing tough times because of it. If you are going through mental illness, it's hard. And I know people don't make their best decisions when they are suffering with something like mental illness. And I hope they get help, and I hope they do better, and I hope it's ultimately not too late. And that's all I'm going to say about that right now. And as we go down the road, we might talk more about that, but saw something yesterday that put that in the forefront of my mind. Now, on to something that normally we don't do a whole lot of this show, on this show, and that's talking about national politics. But something happened yesterday that was quite historic in the world of national politics. The former, and we do have to say former now, Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, a Republican, was ousted from his position as Speaker of the House of Representatives. Now, this is historic because I don't believe it's ever been done by someone's own party, and I don't believe, as I was reading, that it's ever been done, period, by Congress itself. So, first time it's ever happened. What we're saying that an awful lot lately. This is historic. I don't know what times we're living in now, but apparently it's very historic times. Now, for people who don't quite understand this, and this is just in a tin-type fashion of what happened, but we all knew we were headed toward a government shutdown Saturday at midnight. And with about 3 hours left on the clock, a deal was made between the Democrats and the majority of Republicans did go for it. It wasn't just Kevin McCarthy, and I think the news is portraying it that way, and it really wasn't that way at all. But there was a small group, I think of under 10 people, in the Republican Party who did not want him to make that deal with the Democrats. So he makes the deal with the Democrats. It keeps the government open. Well, it really cheeses off this group of 10 people in the Republican Party. It's in the neighborhood of 10, and if I'm getting that number wrong, somebody will have to point it out to me. So anyway, the deal's made, the government doesn't shut down, and then on Sunday morning, this was Saturday night, Kevin McCarthy goes on the Sunday morning shows and kind of trashes the Democrats, saying that they were holding the government hostage. Well, I'll tell you why this became a mistake as time went on. Well, Kevin McCarthy making this deal really cheesed off that small group of Republicans that didn't want him to do this. So immediately on Monday, they started threatening that they were going to take him out of power. And they offered that legislation up to take him out of power. I believe they did that on Monday. Well, the vote came yesterday, and this is where I come back to the Democrats, because Kevin McCarthy thought he could save his speakership, because I think he only went down by 6 votes yesterday, if he could get some Democrats to vote for him. Well, when he went to the Democrats to ask for their vote, they were not happy that he had went on the Sunday morning shows and said that basically they had held the government hostage. So they weren't going to vote for him. And that small group of Republicans, which I think, like I say, I think he only lost by 6 votes, losing his speakership. So it's a small, small group. And that led to the end of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. First time that's ever happened. Most of the Republicans voted with him. Over 200 of them, I believe. So this is where we are, and he says he's not going to run for it again. He's had enough of it. So the House technically right now does not have a Speaker of the House. I think they have the pro tem right now. And we'll see who comes next in this operation. All right. All that being said, you know I have a disease where I don't answer the phone. So yesterday, a phone call came in from one of our great friends here at the station, Pastor Craig, talking about this not too long after this happened yesterday, and he said he would like to talk about this. So you know what? I'm going to open up the phone lines, and anybody can talk about this if they'd like. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, I thought about having a national guest on, then I thought, you know what? Let's hear what people locally have to say about this, because, I think it should be on the record locally what people thought about this. It's historic. It's never happened before. What do you think? Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What do you think about the Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House now, Kevin McCarthy, being ousted from his position, which apparently he will not run for again? Now, what exactly happened? You know what's difficult about this whole thing is it seems as if, because the majority of his party, the Republicans, do seem to be behind him. As I say, I think about 200 of them. But it's a small group, but that small group is enough to swing it in the opposite direction. I think he only lost, was it 16 or 6 votes? It was a very small margin that he ended up losing by, but you've gotta have that small group when you've got no Democrats on your side either. And I don't know, maybe he shouldn't have went on those Sunday morning shows saying what he did. It's a fascinating thing, and we'll get other people's perspective here, which I think is very important. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott, Pastor Craig.
Hey, glad you're out there. How's it going?
It's going good. It's a beautiful morning.
It really is. I think we've got today and tomorrow, then it's all going to turn ugly on us.
It's going to turn real ugly, but it's October, it's autumn, so we have to expect that.
We certainly do. Now, my summation of things that just happened, what did you make of that?
Yeah, that you covered the topic very well. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy has nobody to blame but himself for being ousted. Because, first of all, he had that small group of Republicans that didn't want to do the deal to keep the government running. And what they were fighting for is they were really fighting for, fiscal responsibility. You know, we've talked before about how, out of control the government spending is. I mean, the country has $33 trillion in debt that they've amassed, that's been amassed over the decades. And it's just out of control. And so they were... The small group of Republicans was trying to force them to say, force a budget deal that starts to get things under control. Well, Kevin McCarthy, he shut down. He wanted to get a deal before Saturday's midnight deadline. And so he basically stopped talking to his party and went to the Democrats. They crafted a deal. And then, as you said, Sunday morning, Kevin McCarthy's trashing the Democrats. And he was the one that went to them to get a deal. I can fully understand the Democrats not being happy. And basically, he made a deal with the devil, and it came back and bit him. In politics, that is to be expected.
You know what I think bothers a lot of people about this is that the way the House of Representatives is structured now, and I double-checked here to see what the vote was yesterday to oust him, 216 to 210. So he was only – the majority of Republicans do support Kevin McCarthy.
Yes, they do.
Only 6 do not. And what is weird about this is that, yes, he did want to keep the government open. I think he felt that would look bad on him. I think he felt that would look bad on most Republicans. But most Republicans in the House thought that the government should stay open and were voting with him. He just needed to get some Democrats on that as well.
to make up for that small group six, it looks like, who did not want to keep the Republicans, who did not want to keep the government open. And another key point of this, which is kind of fascinating, is when that, because it did have the short-term bill did have to go to the Senate, it passed the Senate 88-9. A lot of Republicans voted for it in the Senate as well. So what I think a lot of people are shocked about this morning and yesterday is that the Republican Party, if you do it in percentage numbers, 90% of them agree with Kevin McCarthy. But if you would have watched any news program yesterday or anything of that nature, it would have seemed as if his party did not agree with him at all. It's about six people.
Right.
And because the House is so close, that's what got him thrown out. This would be the same on the Democratic side. How could anybody operate when 210 members of your own party are saying do this, six are saying don't? What do you do?
Right. And you know what's interesting, Scott, in looking at the bigger picture, what we don't hear about the number of times that there is actually bipartisan support for a bill and it gets passed. You know, we hear about when there's a big issue, a controversial issue, and you know they're voting on party lines and nothing gets done, nobody, you know, can reach across the aisle. That's what we hear about. But just some stuff I was looking up. Currently, right now, in this session of Congress, there are 10,000 bills and resolutions on record. And probably about 8% of them will ever make it to a final vote and become law. But what's interesting is so far this year, 2023, there have been over 400 pieces of legislation in Congress that have passed, and 92% of those have been bipartisan. They've passed with votes from the Democrats and the Republicans. So, you know, in reality, a lot of stuff is getting done bipartisan, but you never hear about it. What you hear about are these other issues that both sides are fighting, and you know, and one side won't give in. But most of the time, our Congress does work.
Well, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because I wanted to point out this vote. I said what the vote was yesterday to oust Kevin McCarthy, but this bill, where it all started, this short term, and by the way, it is just, I think, a 45-day short term deal. I think it only takes us through November 17th. But the short term bill, I told you how it passed the Senate 88-9, so a lot of Republicans voting for the bill in the Senate. In the House, the bill itself passed 335-91. Right. 91 people voted no in the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives is Republican controlled.
Right.
So I think what people are saying here today is it overwhelmingly, not just Democrats voted for this bill in the House, bipartisanly it was voted for in the House. And
correct.
And the problem is because six people got cheesed off, and the one who we saw on television a lot on Sunday, within 48 hours, this man lost his spot.
Right.
So how does the next person who goes in there, how are they going to govern if that's the litmus test that we have?
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see for that next person, the next person who's Speaker of the House. You know, it'll be very interesting, because he's got a lot of people to make happy, and quite honestly, I don't know how you do that.
Is the real problem right now, and this has happened before in other parties, not to this extent to where a Speaker of the House has been ousted, but If you have a small group in your party, and this is a small group, under 10, looks like 6, but it's a small group, that do not agree with the rest of the party, but because your margin in the house is so small, you have to have them in lockstep with you. I really don't know. I don't know how anybody could have brokered any kind of deal on Saturday.
I don't think anybody could have gotten a deal on Saturday, other than other than the way that Kevin did. I think what he would, to preserve his spot, what he would have had to do is he would have had to let the deadline come and go, let the government get shut down, and then try and work out a deal. It was, it's going to be painful, but I think that's what he was going to have to do. We've got kind of a unique situation this time, because if you go back to the beginning of this session, where it took 15 votes before Kevin McCarthy was approved, one of the deals he had to make with the Republicans, this small faction in the party, in order to get elected, is he had to agree to one of the rules being that a single member could bring up a motion to vacate, or in other words, to have him removed from that. And I think this was the first time in history that the rule allowed for a single person to make a motion to vacate. In the past, I don't remember what the numbers were, but I believe in the past you had to have 25 members of the House bring up a motion to vacate the office. So, that was the only way he got elected in the first place as Speaker of the House, was to, have that rule in there. So, it's almost like he was doomed from the start.
Well, what is interesting to me is that the Democrats, I think, honestly, if things had been left the way they were on Saturday night after the government had been kept open, I think they might have saved him. I think seven Democrats might have voted to save him because he did do a bipartisan thing. But he went on those shows on Sunday morning and trashed them. Now, I don't know if he was trying to do that to win favor with those 6 Republicans who maybe he thought would not do this. But he went to him yesterday. That was one of the things that I thought was very I don't want to say it was underreported. It was reported by a lot of people. But Kevin McCarthy, the Republican Speaker of the House at that point, went to the Democratic caucus and said, "Will you save me?" And basically they said,
"Nope."
Yeah, no, because you went on television and trashed us yesterday.
Right, and I agree with you 100%. I honestly believe that had he not done that Sunday morning, had he, not gone on TV at all, or had he not, if he did go on TV, if he'd have said, "Hey, thank you to the Democrats, that's the only way we could get this thing worked out. We had a bill that got over 300 and whatever votes. It was a group effort. It was a bipartisan deal, and we can move on." But I think then he would have not had a problem at all getting 7 Democrats to vote for him, support him, and keep him in his speakership.
But
I really do think that was what did him in.
I do as well. And I think the interesting thing about all this is, because where do we go from here? Because essentially, a lot of this has been laid on Kevin McCarthy because he wanted to be Speaker of the House. Well, he's already said he's done with this. He's not running for this again because of what has happened here. So somebody is going to offer themselves up. Now, I would guess we're going to have one of these 6 people do that. And I would also guess we will have, of the bigger group, the 210 Republicans who did agree with Kevin McCarthy. I'm sure somebody will be offered up, and maybe a few from that group. But ultimately, the problem is to get a majority, which is why it took so many votes last time. I don't think that any of these people can get in because, and I'm not saying this to be facetious at all, and you tell me if this is fact or not. One of the names being offered up this morning is our Congressman Jim Jordan. Now, he's very popular with his Republican Party. He's very popular in our district. He's very popular on a national level. But of those 210 Republicans he's got to win over, I don't think there's any chance.
No, and he doesn't want it. Jim Jordan doesn't want it, and he's got enough support from the other members in the House who also don't want him to be Speaker. And the reason that, you know, they don't want him to be Speaker and he doesn't want it is he wants his chairmanships on some of those committees that are doing, you know, the investigations in that's where he wants to stay, and there are enough supporters of him that want him staying there. So, you know, his name, if it gets offered up, it will not get enough votes. And they're going to have a problem coming together and electing one. We may see that the 15 votes it took to get Kevin McCarthy elected may be nothing compared to how many votes it's going to take this next time to get someone elected. And I do have one other comment on Kevin McCarthy. And actually, you know, what happened this weekend has not come as any surprise at all if you've been following Kevin McCarthy in his years in Congress. One of the big problems that many of the people there in the House had with him when he was, you know, the first time when he was elected Speaker of the House and it took 15 votes, one of the biggest problems they had was people who were against it said they were against Kevin McCarthy because you can't trust him. He plays both sides of the fence. He had a reputation of playing both sides of the fence, getting a deal done with other, you know, with the other party, and then stabbing them in the back. So this really comes as no surprise. And I think to the Democrats, they weren't surprised by it either, that the fact that he would come to them to get a deal done and then the next day trash them on TV. I'm sure that they were not surprised by that. And they took the opportunity to show them what they thought.
Well, this is an interesting thing, and I want to bring this up because this is just my read on this whole thing. Because we're now going to November 17th, I do believe, is the 45-day stopgap on this. So this could about down the government again on November 17th. But now here's the problem, because here's how I see this at this point as far as Speaker of the House goes. You have the majority of Republicans, 210 of them in the House, who did agree with this. I guess we would consider them more moderate Republicans. Then you have these six, but you need their votes to get a majority, because no Democrat is going to vote for a Republican in the House to be Speaker. So you've got to have that six to get the majority. So if one of those six offers themselves up, clearly that's not going anywhere, because 210 Republicans are not going to vote for them, and certainly no Democrats are. But if one of the moderates offer themselves up, which a lot of people, for whatever Kevin McCarthy is thought of as, and I think a lot of people do feel he played both sides, he was part of the more moderate group. So if one of them offer themselves up to be Speaker of the House, they're not going to get the votes. They're going to fall six short because of this six that basically led to the demise of Kevin McCarthy. Plus, I don't think they are ever going to agree to the terms that Kevin McCarthy agreed to, the one-person resolution, which led to him losing his spot, which is exactly what happened. within a year of him becoming Speaker of the House, and you have another government shutdown possibly looming November 17th. So has this really put the power with the Democrats? Because at this point, if the moderate Republican, part of the 210 in Congress, wants to get in, and those six Republicans will not vote for him, they've got to get six Democrats. And I assume the six Democrats are really going to go with the most bipartisan person they could find, and they could elect the next Republican Speaker of the House. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think here's what's going to happen. Again, if we go back to Saturday night, although the budget deal did pass by a good margin, there still were 90 votes against. And you actually had, I would say, from what I saw in the early round of voting on Kevin McCarthy in January, you had about 40 Republicans who really did not want him, did not want Kevin McCarthy. And I think probably those 90 votes against budget deal included all those 40 or so Republicans who are not Kevin McCarthy fans. Even though you didn't have that many people, vote to get him out of the House, they were not big fans of his. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a name come up for Speaker of the House who's one of those 90 that voted against the budget deal, that is probably one of those 40 that were not Kevin McCarthy fans. And it's going to be a name that is not going to be a name we're real familiar with. You know, we know Jim Jordan, and we know Stephen Scalise and some of those names. But I think it's going to be one of a lesser-known name. And I actually think they might have a pretty good chance, because that's going to be a person that's going to be acceptable to the Republicans.
You know, something, I guess the bottom line of this whole thing is, as I said, the vote on Saturday was really overwhelming, with 3 hours left to go, 335 to 91, because it is being framed that Kevin McCarthy made this deal. Now, Kevin McCarthy did go to the Democrats and say, hey, listen, we're under 24 hours here. We need to hammer something out. And they did, but when it was taken back to the Congress, it overwhelmingly passed. When it was taken to the Senate, it overwhelmingly passed. So Kevin McCarthy can't pass a bill through. The majority of the elected people, for the people, did vote for this. Yet it had led to something historic, the end of the Speaker of the House. So, it used to be, I guess, and I'm not saying that those six people who are the 91 who voted against it should like Kevin McCarthy, but when you see the overwhelming support that it did have from Republicans in the Senate and in the House, why would you go through with this anyway? To take somebody's position, I guess. What do you think the major impetus behind that was? And not just go to them and say, listen, we don't like that. We don't want you to do that again. Why was it right for his throat?
If it didn't happen this time, it was going to happen again. Let's face it. Matt Gaetz was the one that was outspoken and kind of like the leader of this small, tiny little group. Matt Gaetz absolutely has been against Kevin McCarthy from the very beginning. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about Matt Gaetz, like him, hate him, whatever. But I really do think that if Kevin McCarthy wasn't ousted over this budget deal, it would have been something else. I really did not feel that Kevin McCarthy would serve as Speaker of the House for his full 2-year term. And it's just about, it's just about some people that have said, hey, we're sick and tired of the way Congress has been operating for years, and it's time to put a stop to it. Now, whether or not you agree with that, you know that's up for discussion. But you've got a couple of people there who their major goal is, we're going to change the way. It's time to stop business being done as usual.
The bottom line, I guess, as we move forward here, does this put a lot of power in the Democrats' favor in the House? Because clearly, in 1994, when the government shut down, it did not play well for the Republicans. It reelected Bill Clinton heavily margin over Dole. And the Democrats became more popular because they said the Republicans can't get it together and they have power in the Congress. Well, this doesn't look good, I don't think, throughout the country for the Republicans. And the speaker battle that I think we're going to have coming up, I don't know how that's going to play either. Is this good for the Republicans in any way? Do they win here at all?
Well, you know, that it kind of depends on how it plays out, because they have potentially put the Democrats in a good position to put them in a position of power. So a lot is just, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'll say that.
Well, one parting question here. Is there anybody in the House, clearly Nancy Pelosi, a lot of people would say she had control of her constituency, that even the people who disagreed with her, she knew where the votes were, she knew how to get things accomplished. Is there anybody in the House now, a Republican, who is the voice of reason, who is the senior member, who is the person who can get this all ironed out?
Yeah, there are a couple, and actually I mentioned him before, Steve Scalise. I think he's probably one of the leading Republicans that, you know, he's been there long enough, he's seen how things operate, he's well aware of the Freedom Caucus, he's well aware of the little, you know, group of seven, and he is actually well liked. He's probably one of those guys that everybody likes him. I don't think he has that too many enemies there. Which, you know, Kevin McCarthy, he wasn't well liked by, you know, groups of people. He had some enemies there, you know, from, you know, past experience. But I think Steve Scalise is probably a name that will come up. Whether or not he'll be the next speaker, I don't know. But he's one person that could really bring the party together.
It's so interesting to look at these votes, because if we look at that vote yesterday, which only saw Kevin McCarthy lose the House speakership in that historic vote, 6 votes, and I don't believe there was I think it was basically those 6 and the Democrats. I think all the Republicans, if I'm not mistaken, the 210 that voted for him, did.
Right.
Even the 91 who the 91 who voted against the spending bill.
Yeah, I know. And you look at those kind of numbers and try to make sense of it. I mean, politics is a funny thing. You know, political maneuvering. It's strange things happen. I mean, if you look at the budget deal had 91 people voting against it. Well, where were those 91 votes yesterday? And, you know, strange things happen when it comes to politics.
It certainly does, but it is historic that Speaker of the House has been removed by his own party, but also, I think, just removed in general.
Never happened.
So now here we go down the road.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure we'll talk more about it Friday. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
All right, Pastor Craig, always good to talk with him. Now, if anybody else has an opinion, call in. All opinions are welcome here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. 52 minutes past the hour here. This whole thing is just strange when you look at it on the whole. Because it seems as if most Republicans did want to keep the government open. Certainly the majority, only 91 in the Senate, or 91 in the House, did not vote to pass the bill that was put before them on Saturday night, and only 9 in the Senate did not vote for it. So it seemed like most people agreed, and every Republican, and I, if I'm wrong on this, somebody pointed out to me, every Republican in the House of Representatives did vote to keep Kevin McCarthy yesterday. 210 of them at least did. And it was the Democrats and 6 Republicans who did not like Kevin McCarthy who essentially led to his being ousted. So there you go. Speaker of the House is no longer the Speaker of the House today. The Speaker of the House yesterday is no longer the Speaker of the House today. Now, who does this favor? Does this favor the Democrats? Does this favor the Republicans? Remember, this was just a short-term spending deal that's, I think, gets us through November 17th. So where do we go from here? Well, again, if anybody has an opinion, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, again, normally on this program, we do not spend a whole lot of time talking about the national issues this way, but I think something like this you have to cover because it is historic, because it's never happened before. And here we are, I guess, just rolling down the road with another thing that's never happened before. Why do you think so many things are happening now that have never happened before? What is going on with the government in 2023 that all the time now we have to say, this has never happened before, this is unprecedented? What has changed in the 250-year history of our country where things like this didn't happen before, and now all of a sudden they do happen? And where does this all trickle down? You know, we talked about the whole education thing yesterday with Mike DeWine. I'm still not sure about that. It seems as if a court order has stopped Mike DeWine from bypassing the State Board of Education, but it looks like he's doing it anyway. So I don't know. You know, can you violate court orders? Can you just do what you want? I don't know. I don't know. People used to go to jail. People used to be fined. People used to be sanctioned. A lot of things used to happen. Apparently, we're not there anymore. And by the way, I do want to mention this again. I mentioned it at the top of the program. But mental illness is a very tough problem. And, you know, the thing of it is that people going through it can be having the best time of their life. And yet, it can stop them in their tracks. So, if you're suffering with mental illness, know that you're not alone. There are a lot of people out there who are suffering with it. And it's one of those few things that still has a stigma attached to it. And I don't know why that is. But, the things you see from time to time that people are going through, or that families of people who are suffering from mental illness go through. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And a lot of times you have to accept the fact that the choices that people make who have mental illness are not, you should not take them personally, because it really has more to do with the illness than it has to do with the person. And you got to understand that. And it's hard not to take that personally. Absolutely, very hard. But you have to cope with that. You have to come to that point where you don't take it personally, because it really is not personal. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Anything you'd like to talk about before we wrap this hour up, 57 minutes past the hour, I certainly thank Pastor Craig for calling in. Always fun to discuss topics of that nature. Hey, my garden, on a happy note, my garden is looking pretty good as we head into these last few warm days here. I've got all kinds of colors out there. I've got beautiful-looking tomatoes, some still green, but most of them now turning that that beautiful orangish-red color. I've also got some out there that are yellow. It's looking very good. How's your garden turning out? Have people threw in the towel on their gardens this year? Or are things still coming out that look pretty good as we head toward the end of this warm weather, this warm weather snap that we're having here in the beginning of autumn? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, I have a little more, I have a little update. I don't think I have enough time here with less than 2 minutes to go in this hour, but I have a little update on my whole gift-giving fiasco. I'm going to call it a fiasco now, that I was talking about yesterday on the program. So I'm going to talk a little more about my gift-giving fiasco as we head into the next hour, because I did something yesterday that might have completely changed the whole face of this whole gift-giving situation that I was in. And it may favor me for the good at this time. And again, phone lines are open. We're always glad to hear from you on whatever the topic is. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I'm sure we will try to get some trivia in the next hour. We've had some fun the last few days doing that. Trivia is always fun. It's enjoyable to get together and see if we can get the correct answers. Boy, did we have a category yesterday. States that have the most beautiful women. I don't know where that category came from, but I'm certainly glad that we got that one knocked out of the box. And Ohio, if you weren't listening, was not one of those states. Shame on the people who put that list together. All right, we're going to step out here for a short break. We're coming back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, in a